Well, this is perhaps the most important hour of our week for all of us, because every need we have is a spiritual need. And so how important it is to corporately hear from God concerning the needs in our life. We are a peculiar people. That's what the Bible calls us. And the world, too, probably calls us peculiar, because we do crazy things sometimes, like talk to mountains, speak to our problems. And that's what I want to talk about today, how to speak to a mountain, how to address issues in our life. Now, all of us need something from God that we've not yet received. All of us are in waiting for a need to be met. And I know most of you, I know some of you are believing God to meet a need in the area of your health. You could use a healing right now in your physical body. And some of you are waiting for the sale of a business to come through, or the sale of a property. Some of you are in need of employment, a job, or a better job, or a promotion on the job. Some of you have a need in the area of finances. You're waiting for that need to be met, a breakthrough in finances. And some of you are so messed up. And the only way you can describe the mess you're in is like this: it's complicated. I was in a conversation with someone not long ago, and I said, well, why not? And, oh, it's complicated, they said. Oh, say no more. I know what you're talking about. Sometimes life is that way. But the question today is, how do we exercise our faith effectively so that we can receive from God? One verse of Scripture that we'll begin with is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, because we are believers, we're sons and daughters of God, and faith is at work in our life to receive our needs met from God, we get thrown off, if we're not careful, by the distraction of our circumstances. But when it says we walk by faith, that's our trust in God. Every step we take in life, even when we're going through a season of great need and we're still in waiting for the need to be met, we're walking in full trust toward God. And we're not focused on what our natural circumstances look like temporarily. We're not limited by our natural knowledge of circumstances. Now, if our faith is not working for us, it would appear that God is mismanaging our circumstances. And we know that cannot be the truth. But because of walking by faith, our trust in God, and not by what we see going on around us in our circumstances, that allows us to live our life not by what we see, but by what He sees. We can trust Him that much. Now, faith is not trusting God temporarily. That's the problem many of us have. We'll have a need, reach a crisis point. We'll pour ourselves into God. We'll completely trust Him. But as soon as things get better, we realize our trust level in God was only temporary. And that's the way it was with the children of Israel. After great miracles in the wilderness, they trusted God intensely, but only temporarily. And sadly, that's the case of many believers in this day and age. People who love the Lord have had an experience with God, know Him to be Savior, but yet depend on other things at times more than trusting Him. And we've got to do it permanently. Now, I like to say this about faith because I'm a realist. Most of the time, I'm an optimist. Never am I a pessimist. But occasionally, I'll be a realist. And the truth is this: faith does not eliminate all struggles, but faith in God helps us struggle well. My, when I'm dealing with struggles and I have my share or more than my share, it's wonderful to know that my trust in God will help me in that struggle. It will not hurt me a bit. It will help me. I want to tell you a true story as we move along quickly here this morning. 37 years ago, when Brenda and I were newly married. Now, we were already married, and she had a wedding ring. We were a year or two into our marriage, and times were hard, and money was tight. And back in that day, this is how it worked. I saw a ring I wanted to buy for her, and it wasn't an engagement ring or a wedding ring. It wasn't that expensive. Today, I'd have just probably reached my hand in my pocket and pull out the money and pay for it. I'm kidding, but sounds good. But back then, here's how the purchase of that ring went. I wanted it. I wanted to give it to her. I knew she would love it. I didn't have the money, but I had time on my side. And so every week, I would take a little bit of money and hide it. She didn't know I was doing this. I hid it well. And the next week, I would add a little more. $5, $10, $20, whatever I could set back. And I built my little hidden account until one day I looked in the envelope where I had hidden this special money for the purchase of her ring. And I realized I have enough now to get what I want. I have enough now for the purchase. And that's worked for me several times. But we need to think of faith like money. Because faith is a spiritual currency. And when we need something or we desire something we do not have, we're believing God to come through for us. Faith is like money. We set some aside. We deposit a little at a time into our faith account. Until one day we realize, I have enough now to get what I need. Or I have enough now to get what I desire. We make deposits into our faith account. And then we don't do this anymore. I think it's still out there. But back in the day, and I'm not going to use that phrase anymore today, layaway was a deal. I want this. I need that. Don't have enough right now. But I can lay it away. So we'd go and put a little bit down on it and then go back to the store and make payments on it until we had completely purchased it and then we received it. Well, we don't do layaway that much in today's society probably, but I will say this, every need we have in our life is laid away for us. God has already put it in reserve. He already knows when He's going to deliver it to us. He already knows exactly how He's going to meet our need. And between now and then, we just build our faith account. Here's good news when you're waiting for God to meet a need. God can meet every one of my needs without draining His resources. That's how vast and awesome He is. He can meet them all and not be depleted. Now, the disciples came to Jesus one day because they couldn't cast out devils. There was a devil giving them a problem. That may be your situation today. A devil may be giving you a problem. Well, the disciples couldn't cast the devil out, but Jesus did. And so they came to Him and asked, why couldn't we cast out that devil? Why, Jesus? And He answered them in Matthew 17 and verse 20. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, and the margin of my Bible defines that as little faith. Because of your little faith. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say, don't miss that word. You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, we are so excited about the mountain moving, the problem being obliterated. But the word move is not the most important word in that verse. I believe the word say is. And the word say comes before the word move. Now, yesterday, I pulled up on my iPad some movie clips. I actually thought about playing a couple for you today. I ruled it out. It was beneath us. But I did watch with great interest a couple. One was Superman. Christopher Reeves in the movie, I think Gene Hackman played the part, and Superman was so powerful, you know, faster than a speeding bullet, able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. It's a train, it's a plane, or no, it's Superman. He had such unlimited strength and power until in this one movie clip, kryptonite was near him. And when he was near kryptonite, all of his physical strength would be drained. Another movie clip. I watched it yesterday. Popeye, the Sailor Man. Now here's a, and Brenda watched it with me. She helped me rule it out. So I'll just tell you about it. Popeye, he was pitiful, puny. I mean, he was pathetic, a weakling. Until you give that puny, pitiful Popeye a can of spinach, and he could defeat any enemy. It was spinach for him. I'm glad my secret is not in spinach. But I'm telling you, those two stories about those brief movie clips to make this statement so you can really understand it. Doubt is like kryptonite to Superman, and faith is like spinach to Popeye. Now that's as simple as I can put it right there. The kids would enjoy that over in our children's church this morning. Doubt will strip you of any ability to receive from God, but faith will put you in a position to where you can move mountains and conquer any enemies. And that's what we're talking about this morning. And the question is not how much faith we have. That does come into play. But more important than that, the question is how much faith is working for you. Because like a muscle, faith becomes stronger when we put it to work. It's been 2 or 3 months now since I've been up in the gym. I have a gym in my house. Well, it's a machine. It's a clothes rack. But I can tell a difference when I exercise. And that's the way it is with our faith. It becomes stronger when we exercise it, when we use it, when it works for us. Now, Jesus said, if you have faith so small as a grain of a mustard seed, which is small, 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 then you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it will move. In fact, let's look at another reference here. Jesus explains further, Mark 4, verses 30 through 32. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater. Now, at first, the seed is small enough to be hidden. That was the way it was with my little cash collection as I was saving some money. I would hide it. It was such a little bit, I could hide it easily. Nobody in the world could find that. It was so small. It was hidden. And that's the way it is with the seed of faith. When it comes to us, sometimes it's so small, what we do with it is we hide it. And that's a precious moment there. David said, Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. But that which begins small at first, so small enough it can be hidden, when it is put to work, and that's what happens when the farmer sows it, that seed goes to work. And in fact, built into that seed is everything that seed needs to know to reproduce and to be fruitful. That farmer puts that seed to work. When the seed is sown, when the seed is put to work, that farmer doesn't have to get out there the next day and say, no, I want to remind you to grow. And just so you know, you're supposed to produce apples one of these days. Not bananas, not to peaches, not pears, apples. You got it? I'm going to remind you again tomorrow what your job is. No, you don't have to do that to the seed. Because when the seed is sown, even though it's small, small enough to be hidden, nobody knows it's there, but it doesn't stay small. That's the way our faith is. Like my little collection of money, it grew as I added to my account until one day I realized I've got enough money to buy what I want. Same way it is with our faith. We may not have much yet. It may be small enough we can hide it. When it's first put to work for us, it is that small. But it grows up and becomes greater. It doesn't remain small. Now, there are different degrees of faith. I want to talk about that just a moment here. Different amounts, different portions, different degrees of faith. The Bible speaks of no faith. The Bible speaks of little faith. Then the Bible speaks of great faith. So there are different degrees. And even the Bible speaks about that in parables. Jesus said, first the blade, and after that the ear, and then after that the full corn in the ear. So it's all about growing and building our faith to the point where we realize one day, I've got enough now to receive my need from God. I just know that I know that I know now He's going to meet my need. Sometimes it's overwhelming when you reach that point. I'll tell you, when you talk about great faith, I can't help but think about Marie Johnson, one of our members who's 80 and not able to be here because of her daughter. But she's as much a part of this church as I am. Just such a blessing, Marie Johnson and her daughter, Tara. Pray for her every time you think of them. Pray for both of them. But Marie comes by the office once or twice a month, and we have church. Last time she came by, she and Pastor Steve and I had church, the three of us. It wasn't lengthy, but it was church. She walked into my office one day with that great faith of hers. And she said, she was talking about a particular, and then a need for $5 million, not in her life personally, but that amount came up, $5 million. Her faith was so strong. Her faith is so great. I'll never forget this. It blessed me. She said, Pastor, $5 million is nothing to our God. Well, we might as well ask Him for a dollar. When she said, we might as well ask Him for a dollar, I thought, wow, that is great faith. She convinced me right there, $5 million, that's a lot to me, a lot to you maybe. But when it comes to God, if you've got great faith, you might as well ask Him for a dollar. I thought that was wonderful. But faith comes in different degrees. Romans 12:8 says this, God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. The measure of faith for everybody. God has given each one of us the measure of faith. I believe that is like this. The measure of faith, everybody has it. That's enough to believe on Jesus. Well, without faith, you can't receive Him. You can't believe on Him. But He died for everybody, and the Bible says everybody has been given a measure of faith. I believe that's all we need to believe on the Lord Jesus and receive Him into our life. We began our spiritual journey there by acting on the measure of faith. We all begin with the same measure. Then the Bible talks about adding to our faith, and here's how we do that. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith comes, our faith increases by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." That's why this time right now is so important. And that's why every time in your private devotions, when you open the book, God opens His mouth and we hear God speak. And as we hear the Word of God, it's like me saving money for that ring. We'll add a little bit. Oh, it's hidden right now. Oh, tomorrow we add a little bit more into our faith account. We hear and understand. It really means more than hear. It means understand. Actually, it goes like this. Our faith increases as we hear and understand the written Word of God. How simple. How easy. Everybody can begin with a measure and move forward with this. The written Word. It's logos for the Word of God. So our faith increases. We add to our faith account. Oh, we have a big need. There's a mountain staring at us. We can't get past this mountain. We don't have enough to move the mountain. But I will understand. I will hear God speak, and the Holy Spirit will bring understanding to me of what He's saying here. And as I hear God speak from His written Word, then I have more faith to add into my account. Don't have a nut yet to move that mountain, but I'm hiding a little bit away along and along until the day comes when I'll realize my need can be met now. The Message translation says it like this: before you can trust, you have to listen. Before you can trust God to meet your need, you have to listen to what His Word says about that need. And how simple that is for all of us. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, it says, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the Word, Logos of God." The written Word of God. The seed of faith that comes to is the written Word of God. And the Holy Spirit enlightening us, giving revelation to us and understanding to us about what God's Word says about our issue. I want to tell you a couple of real life stories. One is a friend of mine lives in another state. I've known him and his wife for many years. And maybe 10, 12 years ago, the wife went to the doctor. And the doctor discovered a lump in her breast. And they're about the same age as Brenda and me. And so we could relate. We love this couple. We go way back. And I remember getting the call after the fact. And my friend and brother in the Lord called and said, "Carla, just want to share with you what we've been through, but thank the Lord we've come through it." And he said, called his wife's name, went to the doctor a few weeks ago, and they found a lump in her breast, and they were concerned about it. And they ran more tests and confirmed that it was there and did a biopsy, and it wasn't good. And now these are solid Christians. These are people who get in the Word. And so this friend of mine said to me, and I was all ears. I mean, I could only imagine that coming home and being a reality at your house. Just imagine a husband and wife walking through that kind of a test. And he said, "Well, when the doctors gave us the news, we didn't immediately pray and ask for healing." And I thought that was strange. He said, "No, we waited a couple of weeks." And I thought, how weird. And he said, "But instead of praying and coming into agreement right then for God to meet that need, we knew to build our faith account." He said, "We started reading the Word of God, every scripture that had to do with healing of our body." And he said, "We just fed on the Word, healing scriptures. By His stripes we are healed. By His stripes we were healed. I have sent my Word and healed you." The Word of God is like medicine and health even to our flesh. Yeah, that's in there. He said, we just poured into our spirit what the Word of God says about healing. And after feeding our spirit from the Word of God for 2 weeks, all of a sudden, both of us at the same time realized, I believe God can meet our need right now. Let's pray right now. And they did, and God healed her. She's never had treatment, never had surgery. She has a complete bill of health, and that's been more than a decade ago. But how wise, how responsible, how wonderful that they had the presence of mind to say, oh, before we... Sometimes, I don't know if I should say this, sometimes we go to prayer in more fear than faith. Don't ever do it. I've gotten calls in the middle of the night, and I love people, and I love ministering to people. This is the calling of God on my life. I'm at my best when I'm helping others through their worst. That's what I do. But I've gotten calls in the middle of the night from people in a crisis and wanting me to come right then, or wanting me to go to the hospital right then. And many times, of course, I do. But I've noticed a thread at times that they're calling more out of fear than faith. Oh, please don't wait until you're in trouble to build your faith account. Build a little bit every day. Take some of the Word and hide it away every day. Because you never know what you may need or what you may desire in the future. You never know what's around the next curve. But if your faith account is well supplied, then you will have more than enough to meet. But if you don't, deal with it. Take responsibility and say, you know, this is critical. This is the worst thing we've ever heard, the worst news we've ever received from the doctor. And I know God can, but let's don't ask Him just yet. Let's hide more of the Word. Let's make some more deposits into our faith account and then cash it in. And it'll work for you because the seed of faith is the Logos, the written Word of God. And then this is important. This is why we speak to mountains. Because Romans 10 and 8 says this, the Word is near you. Listen to this. The Word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. In your mouth and in your heart. That's why we speak to mountains. I think we lose a lot of victories on this point. I think we need to bring balance to this truth. I've seen extremes on both sides, but the Word of God is always true. And it says the Word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. Now, my bishop, Houston Miles, says this, and I love it. He says, there are two groups of people. There's the group that say, I can. And there's the group that says, I can't. And he said, both groups are right. And that's true. It's important what we say in times of need when we're trying to get our faith to work for us. It's because the Word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. There is a connection between those two body parts, our mouth and our heart. It's all through Scripture. I'll give you another one in just a minute. But we need to recognize how these two work together. God's Word in my mouth moves mountains. I will go on record, call this name. I'm doing it to honor him and his memory, but Jimmy Rainwater, one of the leaders in our city, leader in business, leader in church circles. That man alone, single greatest blessing to our church other than Walmart. Thank God for Walmart. When you leave here today, go to Walmart, buy your groceries. God bless Walmart. Pray for Walmart. But this man was a blessing to us. He gave us a property rent free for about 3 years in the early days of our church. as a joy he did it. He said, as long as you want to use it for the glory of God, it's free. And so what a blessing that was. He was a man of real faith. And the doctors diagnosed him with cancer. And please don't misunderstand, we believe in doctors. Jesus did too. He took one with him. We're not against healing any way it comes. But we look beyond the arm of a man or a woman. We look to the arm of God for every good thing, including healing for our bodies. But Jimmy Rainwater, who's with the Lord now, was diagnosed with cancer. And it was in a serious stage when they found it. And I remember him telling me the story. I've known him for all these years. And he said he got that doctor's report. And he said, I called a specialist in Atlanta, one of the best in the nation. He said, I went to Atlanta to get a more expert opinion, a second opinion from a specialist. They told me the same thing. And both doctors said, we need to radically treat this. We need to aggressively. We need this and that and the other and surgery and chemo and this and that and the other. And now, don't get me wrong, if your doctor tells you that, you may be well served to do that. Pray about it first. And if you believe God can heal in that way, and I certainly do, I've seen him do that, and he has for many of us here. But different degrees of faith is what we're talking about. How much have we added to our faith account? Jimmy went back to his doctor here after getting a second expert opinion in Atlanta, and the doctor said, we need to, and Jimmy said, no. He said, if I can trust Jesus with my eternal soul, I can certainly trust him to fix my temporary body. And Jesus healed him of that cancer. He was healed supernaturally. His faith account was that full on that issue. Now, he wasn't perfect. I know. God loved that man. He was so passionate for the things of God. But he was a wrangler. He was hard to harness sometimes. Everybody loves Jimmy and knows that to be true. But the Lord healed him from that cancer. Now, we need to realize this. God did not make him immortal, because he eventually died. And he's home with the Lord now. So even when God will heal us miraculously, it doesn't make us live forever. We're still appointed once to die. And he's with the Lord today. But he had enough in his faith account to receive the healing there. I remember this story. And how important what we say is. There's this man, I don't think he was that spiritual, actually. He didn't really have a testimony or a lifestyle that would lend itself to volumes of spiritual maturity in any way. But he was 83 years old. And the doctors told him he had 6 months to live. 6 months to live. And when the doctors told him that, he said this, I'm not going to die in 6 months. And he lived 3, 4, 5 more years. Died of old age. How wonderful. I'm not going to die in 6 months. And he laughed and walked out of the doctor's office. And he was right. We speak. I assure you, he would have been dead and buried in 6 months if he'd have walked out and told his children, well, I've got 6 months to live. But he laughed and said, I'm not going to die in 6 months. And he was right. He wasn't immortal, though. He did go home to be with the Lord. God's word in my mouth moves mountains. It's a connection between what we believe in our heart, the faith we've saved up through deposits, beginning with something so small it's hidden. We can hide it, but yet it doesn't stay that small. It grows up and becomes greater. Now I'm going to quote Hollister and Gideon's other grandfather. Did I tell you we're going to see our grandboys this week? Do you know? Did that get to you yet? Okay. His name is Roy H. Williams, written New York Times bestsellers, a great in-demand speaker in business groups all over the country. He said this, "An energy of words has existed since the day God said, 'Let there be light.' Learn how to use this energy." There was nothing but darkness. And God said, "Light be," and light was. The power of our words, ever since He said, "Let there be light," and we should learn how to tap into that power, matching with our mouth the faith we have in our heart. Our faith never works for us at its fullest potential until we speak. That's why we speak to mountains. And a clincher, one last verse, Romans 10 and 9. We're connecting the mouth and the heart. It says, if you confess with your mouth, listen, everybody listen to this. This is the last verse. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Notice there again in that verse, not only the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart, but here it is again. Confess with your mouth the belief in your heart. So the two work together. So we add to our faith account by understanding God's word on any issue of need that we have. And then one day we realize we have enough faith to receive this need met. And when the time is right, in fact, it'd be good to do this consistently, we speak to the mountain. We say with our mouth what our faith says in our heart. That's how we're even saved. Now, there may be some of you who think, I can't be saved until I join the church, or until I catch up with my tithe, or until I do enough good stuff, or until I this or that or the other. No. Two things you have to do to be saved. You have to believe. You have to have faith. And it may be just enough. It may be hidden at first. But you have to believe that Jesus was God's Son. He died for me. And God raised Him from the dead. But then you have to confess it with your mouth. You got to say it. You got to speak to that mountain of sin and guilt and all of the baggage and the complicated mess in your life. You got to speak to it according to the faith that has been hidden away in your heart. If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you will be saved. Now that's as simple as it gets. Would you stand with me? Everybody stand. Bow your heads, please.